Good evening. At 5 o'clock, this is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a former soldier is to be charged with murdering a teenager who was shot twice in the head in Derry during the Troubles. Daniel Hegarty was killed on July 31st, 1972. The PSNI have confirmed that a security alert has ended in Derry. It happened in the Clonilloch estate in the Skeag area. It started this morning. There's a fresh delay to the national broadband plan. The communications minister says it will not now come before cabinet until after Easter. And 17 candidates will contest the four European Parliament seat in the Midlands Northwest constituency in next month's European elections. All those stories to follow, and later on at around about 5:15 we'll have all the sports news with Oisin Kelly. But first, this evening Richard Burke is to face murder charges in connection with the death of Jasmine McMonagall in Killigordon in January. The 27-year-old with an address at Forest Park in Killigordon appeared the day before Letterkenny District Court. The court was told a book of evidence had been served earlier in the day. Burke was remanded in custody to appear before the Central Criminal Court for trial on April 29th. 27-year-old Jasmine McMonagall died after she was attacked at her home in Killigordon in January. The young mother of two was found dead at her home 3 hours after she had called the emergency services. A former soldier is to be charged with murdering a teenager who was shot twice in the head in Derry during the Troubles. Daniel Hegarty was killed on July 31st, 1972. His cousin Christopher was injured. With more, here's Grainne Connolly.
15-year-old Daniel Hegarty was killed in an army operation near his home in Creggan in July 1972. Last year, the High Court ruled a decision not to prosecute, taken in 2016, was based on flawed reasoning. The suspect, known as Soldier B, will also face a second charge of wounding the teenager's cousin. An inquest in 2011 found Daniel Hegarty posed no risk and was shot without warning during Operation Motorman. The Hegarty family have been informed of the developments.
A security alert in Derry has ended. The PSNI say they received a report that a device had been left outside an address in the Clonilloch area of the city at around 10 past 10 this morning. They say following further examination, it was declared to be an elaborate hoax. Police say residents have been allowed returned to their homes. Police say their inquiries are continuing. They're urging anyone that noticed any suspicious activity in the area or anyone with information to make contact. It comes just days after an alert in Fern Park. Local councillor Brian Tierney says the estate on the Skeag Link Road is one of the city's newest, and this is the last thing that the area needs.
Clonilloch, as I'm sure you're aware, is one of the newer housing developments just off the Skeag Link Road there. With a lot of young families on it.
The alert last week, not that far away. Is there any suggestion that the two are linked?
I don't think so. The alert last week, whilst it wasn't that far away in terms of distance, it's in two completely separate communities. Skeag is an ever-growing and expanding community just on the edge of the Gaelic estate. And the one last week, obviously, was the Fern Park area, which is in the heart of the Gaelic estate. So whilst they're not far away in distance, in terms of communities, they're very much seen as two different communities within the Ballyarnet area. So I don't think it's linked, but there's every likelihood that it could be. Regardless of what it is, again, this has to be condemned for what it is. We're trying to build this part of the city. We're trying to build it up, and we're trying to get people homes here, and they're much-needed homes here. And this development in Skeag is very, very welcome. And this isn't the type of activity that we want to see going on with it.
And that was Councillor Brian Tierney there speaking to us from Derry. There's a fresh delay to the national broadband plan. More than 500,000 homes are waiting for access to high-speed broadband across the country, over 30,000 of them in Donegal. A decision on the final tender was due by the end of this week, but Communications Minister Richard Bruton says that'll not now happen until after Easter.
We need the space to do that, so it's not going to government tomorrow, but I can assure you that there is no intention to drag out this process. There is a determination to reach a decision in a timely way, but it is an important decision, and it's one that we're determined to get right.
Well, Sinn Féin communications spokesperson Brian Stanley says the situation right now is a farce.
Being promised and promised, and there's been delay after delay, and now we've been told since Christmas there will be word by Easter. Well, we're nearly up on we're in Holy Week now, and we haven't got a reply from the government on it, except to say that no decision has been made on it, and it looks like a decision will not be made on it now, this side of Easter. So obviously, it's very disappointing. It's very disappointing for rural Ireland.
17 candidates will contest the four European Parliament seats in the Midlands Northwest constituency in next month's European elections. The constituency will have at least one new MEP following confirmation that long-serving independent Marion Harkin will not be seeking re-election. Nationally, a total of 59 candidates will contest the European Parliament elections after nominations closed at noon today. With an overview of the situation nationally, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
The deadline for nominations in the European elections closed at noon, and we now know the runners and riders. Two independent TDs were late additions, Claire Daly running in Dublin, and Mick Wallace will contest in Ireland South. It sets up a fierce battle in Dublin with two outgoing MEPs not contesting. That leaves Sinn Féin's Lynn Boylan fighting to keep her seat, alongside former Taoiseach Francis Fitzgerald and former SDLP leader Mark Durkan for Fine Gael. Former ministers Barry Andrews and Alex White, along with President Higgins' daughter, Senator Alice Mary Higgins, round out a strong leading pack, with Claire Daly also likely to command a heavy vote. There's 23 candidates in Ireland South, including three defending MEPs, a Minister of State in Andrew Doyle, and two TDs in Fianna Fáil's Billy Kelleher and independent Mick Wallace. Midlands Northwest sees a serious battle as well, with Mairead McGuinness, Luke Ming Flanagan and Matt Carthy defending their seats. Fianna Fáil TDs Brendan Smiths and Anne Rambert are contesting, with former Rosa Tralee Maria Walsh on the Fine Gael ticket and independent former presidential hopeful Peter Casey also in the race.
The president of the AGSI has defended its handling of an allegation made against one of its members. It's understood the Garda in question is accused of engaging in security work in their spare time, which isn't permitted. Two senior members of the association, including Donegal-based Vice President Sergeant Paul Wallace, have chosen to boycott the annual conference this week following the revelations. The AGSI president, Cormac Moylan, says the association acted on legal advice after the matter was raised with them.
Based on that legal advice, we advised the person that was making the allegation to go to the correct forum, that wasn't something for AGSI to investigate. We're not investigating. Due process has to take place, and that's the advice that we have got. You know, everyone is innocent until proven guilty, you know, and that's the, as a guard, that's the mantra that we've always stood by, and that we continue to do so.
The Coherlick of Donegal County Council has described Irish Water's unchanged stance on plans for repair works to the Falcarra water supply as unacceptable. In a statement today, the utility said it's applied for funding for the mains in the area to be replaced, but the work won't be complete until November. It emerged last week a number of businesses had to shut their doors following a major water outage, one of many to hit Falcarra and surrounding areas in recent times. Councillor Seamus O'Donnell says the proposed timeframe for repair works simply isn't good enough. He is still seeking an emergency meeting to discuss the situation.
They need to do this work now, not later. Businesses and people in our community cannot do without water for extended periods of time, and Irish Water need to be aware of that. And I reiterate the point that if this were in an urban area, if this was in the city centre of Dublin or Galway or Cork or anywhere else, it wouldn't be accepted. And Irish Water need to be fair with rural dwellers in small towns and villages in northwest Donegal as there would be in towns and cities. And I will be still seeking the emergency meeting.
A section of the former army barracks in Lifford is to undergo refurbishment works with a view toward housing a social welfare office there. It's not yet known how many people will be employed in the office once it's up and running. Donegal County Council has also confirmed it intends using other buildings on the site as office accommodation for council staff. Local councillor Jerry Crawford says this is a positive development for the area. It's also hoped, he says, it'll pave the way for a digital hub to be housed there in the near future.
Certainly something I've called on at this facility. The council has said in the past that they have had contacts where people inquire as to such sites, and I think that it's certainly the council should be very positive and very proactive in indicating that they have a facility there, then it should be put to use. And what better use could be put to than a digital hub that would enable others for to start off on whatever ambitions they would have, and a digital hub could help them on their way to fulfill maybe and bring a bit of employment, as small as it might be, to the Lifford area.
And the Lifford area, a border town, and particularly in these times of uncertainty with Brexit on the horizon and so on and so forth, a very ideal location for many different services.
Well, you know, I suppose in a way the site is limited, but Digital Hub opens an awful lot of services in the digital world. And there has been other expressions of interest for the main, whether or not they have ever been completed, but there has been other expressions of interest on that site and getting into it. And this is just more or less opening the gates again and bringing back to service what really will be an asset to some degree.
You're listening to the main evening news on Highland Radio. Well, we should find out later the fate of John Delaney and the board of the FAI. A meeting to discuss the future of the former CEO and possible changes to the board continues this evening. It follows weeks of controversy for the association after issues of governance and finance came to light. The controversy led to Sport Ireland pulling funding from the association. The CEO of the Federation of Irish Sport, Mary O'Connor, says organisations receiving funding know the rules they have to adhere to.
Any national governing body that's receiving funding from the government knows from Sport Ireland what the rules, the regulations are, and also as well what the compliances need to happen. The concern around the FAI is there.
Well, there are fears that a number of capital projects and local clubs could suffer as a result of the ongoing controversy with the FAI. One of the projects that's coming under the spotlight is the new stadium for Finn Harps. Last July, the Department of Sport announced a €304,000 grant toward the restart of the stadium build. Well, Councillor Gary Doherty says that long-awaited project cannot be compromised.
There are obviously shameful and shambolic practices in the FAI, and indeed the appearance before the Oireachtas Committee last week was both shameful and shambolic. However, I think grassroots football throughout the country cannot be allowed to suffer because of the ineptitude of those at the top of the FAI.
And you're raising particular concern as it relates to the new Finn Harps Stadium.
Yeah, well, we've heard this morning from Shane Ross that sports capital grants issued from Sport Ireland to the FAI are now under threat, and that for us in Donegal that brings a spotlight on the new Finn Harps Stadium, because of course Harps have been waiting for a long time for the development of the new stadium, and it was brilliant to receive the news recently that Harps were in receipt of funding, or would be in receipt of funding to begin again the process of developing the new stadium in Stranorder. And just last year, the Department of Sport and Tourism announced a €304,000 grant towards getting that project restarted again, and the rest of the funding would come from government and FAI grants. And now that funding is in jeopardy. And in addition to that, I mean, football clubs right across Donegal, from Ulster Senior League level right down throughout the Donegal Leagues, heavily rely on sports capital funding for the maintenance and development of club grounds.
And that was Councillor Gary Doherty. Well, time now for the rest of today's sports news.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, stocking the Northwest's biggest selection of running shoes from all the leading brands.
And we say good evening to Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with Gaelic Games. Martin O'Reilly is the latest player to withdraw from the Donegal senior panel and has called time in his inter-county career. The McCool's man featured in all four of this year's McKenna Cup games, but found his time during the league limited, playing in one game, the victory over Meath in early February. O'Reilly was part of Donegal squads that won the All-Ireland in 2012 and Ulster titles in that same year, 2014 and 2018. His withdrawal follows the news from the weekend that Orr McNeillis will not be returning to the Donegal camp of this championship. Mark Anthony McGinley, Martin McElhenney and Conor Morrison also departed the squad during the recent successful Division 2 league campaign. In soccer, Arsenal can return to the Premier League's top four this evening. The Gunners will look to take advantage of Chelsea's defeat to Liverpool yesterday when they travelled to Watford. However, despite five wins in the last seven matches in all competitions, Arsenal have won just two of their last 12 on the road. Their opponents, Watford, are unbeaten at Vicarage Road since St Stephen's Day. Arsenal boss Unai Emery says they must take advantage of Chelsea's defeat yesterday and now prove their worth.
We can be happy because at home we are finding good performance. Can be criticizing ourselves for our performance away, but also knowing each match is a big challenge for us.
Dundalk are hoping to avoid their first run of three straight defeats since December of 2016 tonight. Last year's double winners welcome informed Bohemians in one of four games in the SSE Air Trustee League Premier Division. A win for Bowes will see them close the gap on leader Shamrock Rovers to 5 points. Elsewhere, third place Derry City go to St Pat's. City have no fresh injury concerns ahead of their second trip to Dublin in 3 days. Derry boss Declan Devine may opt to rotate one or two places in his squad given the intensity of their recent programme of games. The Derry boss is expecting another tough night in Dublin.
A good side with good players. You know, as this is all along, every game in this league is a test. Every game in this league is difficult, and they don't come any harder than this. You know, it's a very difficult venue that we've found as a football club, very difficult. They won in over a long period of time. You know, when you get anything out of some pats away, it's a wonderful performance. So we're going to have to be wonderful, and we're going to have to be very good to get anything out of it.
Elsewhere tonight in the Premier Division, Sligo Rovers are at home as they look to try and build on recent victories. They entertain Waterford, and Cork City travel to Belfield to face UCD. Tiger Woods' victory at the Masters has been widely called the greatest sporting comeback of all time. It's 11 years on from his last golfing major win, and there have been countless injuries and troubling headlines off the course. Former Ryder Cup hero and now Sky Sports pundit Paul McGinley says Woods' story transcends golf.
It's quite incredible to come where he's come from. I mean, aside from all the scandals that went on in his personal life, you know, the fact that he's had back surgery, spinal fusion in his back, the fact that he had the chipping yips at one stage, the fact that he had the putting yips at one stage, the fact that his game looked completely dishevelled. He looked completely dishevelled.
At one stage, Tiger Woods was outside the top 1,000 players in the world. But he's now returned to the top 10 golfers for the first time since 2014. His victory at the Masters sees Woods climb six places to number six in the latest rankings, which was released earlier. Dustin Johnson regains the world number one spot from Justin Rose, while Rory McIlroy drops one place to fourth. In rugby, Joey Carberry remains highly unlikely to be fit for Munster's Heineken Champions Cup semi-final with Saracens. The Ireland out half hasn't played since a recurrence of a hamstring injury in the quarter-final win away to Edinburgh. Keith Earls looks set to return, having sat out the last two games with tightness to his thigh, while Jan Keelan is on course for a return from a leg injury. And while he'll give Carberry every chance to prove his fitness, Johan van Gran won't be rushing the number 10 to return.
Yeah, it's still highly unlikely. We'll just take it day by day and then make a final call later in the week. But like I said last week, we won't take any chances with him. If he's ready, he's ready. If he's not, then we won't take it.
Finally, in snooker, Ken Doherty trails world number 39 Scott Donaldson by 5-4 following the first session of their second round qualifier for the World Championships. Fergal O'Brien has been beaten 10-4 by Mark Davis, while Antrim's Jordan Brown has been whitewashed 10-0 by China's Luan Houtian. That's it, Donal. We'll have more at the Highland Sports Desk tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Washing. The Central Bank says there is much to be done to restore public trust and improve governance in the banking sector. It follows the launch of a culture board for the banks today. It aims to be more customer-focused and to improve transparency. The chair of the IBCB, John Hedigan, says the board will not have a regulatory function.
So we're not going to be a disciplinary or a regulatory body. What we have is a completely different role that no one has had before, and which we think is essential, and that is to try to work on the culture that creates all these different policies and approaches. And if that culture is a proper one, then matters should be dealt with in a better way in the future.
Serious concerns have been raised over what's been described as major anti-social activity in the Coolmore area of Derry. Large groups of young people are said to be gathering in a football field adjacent to Coolmore Point over the past two weekends, lighting fires and causing what's been described as serious damage to the pitch. It's estimated over 100 young people have been participating in the behaviour. Local councillor Sandra Duffy says it has residents unsettled.
The community safety wardens obviously was out of their area in terms of expertise because there was such a high number of young people there. So they had to call then in the neighbourhood policing team who were able then to disperse the young people. But still, I got phone calls yesterday from residents and business owners saying even though the young people were dispersed from the football pitch, they were still hanging around the Coolmore area waiting on people to pick them up. They were hanging around outside the Magnet Bar, outside the shop. It's very intimidating for local residents.
And I'm sure from your point of view and indeed from residents' point of view that you would be calling on relevant authorities to explore various options to curb this kind of activity going forward.
Absolutely. We have seen this in the past where young people have congregated in different areas of the city. It seems to be planned on social media. So I would call on the community safety wardens, youth organisations and the neighbourhood policing teams to look at ways to address this. I know from talking to a number of teenagers who weren't there that they were contacted through social media inviting them to come along. Now, I know that there are many, many good youth organisations throughout our city who are doing sterling work, so I would call on them to look at the young people that were there at the weekend and see if there's anything that can be done in local areas to prevent young people from travelling around, putting themselves at risk. This is quite an isolated area near the River Foyle, so it could have been, you know, young people could have been seriously hurt.
And that was Councillor Sandra Duffy there. Finally, the Dáil has heard that many watercourses in Inishowen, which were damaged during the August 2017 floods, remain in limbo in terms of being cleaned and maintained. The issue is said to fall between two stools, as neither the OPW nor Donegal County Council claim responsibility for the upkeep. Donegal's Deputy Charlie McConnell told the Dáil a specific body needs to be established to deal with the matter.
The limbo situation that many watercourses and rivers are in as a result of not being the responsibility of the OPW under the Arterial Drainage Acts, or indeed the responsibility of local county councils, a particular issue in Inishowen, where there was significant damage done to rivers and flood, or rivers and watercourses as a result of the August 2017 flooding. Can I ask you, Minister, for an update in relation to any plans that you and the government have in relation to introducing a specific body which will work with landowners to actually take responsibility and assist them in maintaining rivers and watercourses, and if this is something that we can expect and will see from the government in the near future?
I think you're aware, but one of your colleagues, along with Minister Humphreys, has asked me to chair a meeting back up in your neck of the woods in relation to the question you put forward to me. That's something I've agreed to, and as soon as we get a date for that meeting, I'll let you know, and we'll work together to see how we can come to solve the issue that you raised here.
Looking at the weather forecast, it'll stay windy and cloudy for the rest of the evening with outbreaks of rain and strong and gusty southeasterly winds. Further outbreaks of rain overnight gradually becoming confined to eastern areas towards dawn. Elsewhere, clear spells will develop with patches of mist and fog. Lowest overnight temperatures 4 to 6 degrees Celsius with southeasterly winds easing as the night progresses. Tomorrow, Tuesday, mostly cloudy with some further patches of light rain during the morning and afternoon. Mist and fog patches will clear during the morning. The rest of the day will be mostly bright with some dry or sunny spells developing, particularly in western parts. Highest temperatures 9 to 11, but reaching 12 to 13 in some areas. Again, in the west, light easterly winds. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Just taking a closing look at the headlines. And Richard Burke is to face murder charges in connection with the death of Jasmine McMonagall in Killigordon in January. He was remanded in custody today in Letterkenny to appear before the Central Criminal Court for trial on April 29th. A former soldier is to be charged with murdering a teenager who was shot twice in the head in Derry during the Troubles. Daniel Hegarty was killed on July 31st, 1972. A security alert in Derry has ended. The PSNI say the Clonelec alert started at around 10 past 10 this morning. It was declared an elaborate hoax shortly after 4 o'clock. And there's a fresh delay to the national broadband plan. More than 500,000 homes are waiting for access to high-speed broadband. Over 30,000 of them in Donegal. A decision on a final tender was due this week. The minister says it'll not now be until after Easter. We're back again with headlines at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 15th of April. The death has taken place at her home of Breed Doherty, Balnamore, Fintan. Her remains will repose at her home from 6 o'clock this evening. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. with family time from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Margaret Dunyan, Carrick, Castle Finn. Margaret's remains are reposing at the family home. Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Castle Finn at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Pilgrim Trust, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Hughie Mulhern, Hughie Tam, Baltony, Gortha Hawk. His remains are reposing at his home in Baltony with rosary tonight and tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Funeral from his home on Wednesday to Christ the King Church, Gortha Hawk, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Rosaline Duffy, Nurse Duffy, née Crumlish, formerly of Hillhead St Johnson. Funeral from her home on Wednesday morning at 9:30 for 10 o'clock. Requiem Mass in Star of the Sea Church, Fawn Vale, Eglinton. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers if desired to the Alzheimer's Society, Seven Oaks, Derry. The death has taken place of Tony Call, Killiecoman, Rathmullen. His remains will repose at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 in St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, with burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of James Ferry, Jimmy Treza, Carrick McGarvey, Derry Beg. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in St Columbkill's Chapel, Knockfalla, on Wednesday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. House private, please, after the rosary until 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Sheila McSheffrey, 6 Richmond Crescent, Derry. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 9:20 to St Patrick's Church, Pennyburn, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock with interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Ardmore. The death has taken place of Patsy Patterson, Bridgend, Rimelton. His remains are reposing at his daughter Martina and John Call's residence, 53 Coyland Court, Rimelton. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Rimelton, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has taken place of John Barr, 78, Ashbrook, Strabane. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight.